You are Locked On Bama, your daily podcast on the Alabama Crimson Tide. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back in to Locked On Bama. Luke Robinson, that's me. Jimmy Stein, that's him. Jimmy, how are you today?
Yeah, I'm great. You know, how great are things going? It's going so well, I don't want to brag. I don't want to do anything to screw this up. But we just won the national freaking championship in football. Apparently, we have the best men's basketball team we've had since me and you were kids. And we're old.
Yeah.
The women's team is good. Gymnastics hasn't lost. Baseball and softball are ranked. Recruiting with football went great. The draft is going to go great. We got a bunch of dudes at the Senior Bowl doing well. I mean, it ain't never been this good. So I just feel like we need to enjoy every single day of this, because karma or something dictates when this goes to shit, it's going to be bad.
It's not karma. It's just the yin and yang of life. I mean, the pendulum swings back hard the other. Now, a couple of things. First of all, and I don't know why I know this. I guess it's because of Twitter. But I think our tennis program had the number two recruiting class in the country. The guy who ranks tennis prospects. You talk about a lonely soul. He's got a corner on that market.
The problem with that is I happen to know a little bit about tennis because I grew up playing it and competitively. And if you rank tennis prospects, that means you know the tennis situation in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, South Africa, South America. They play tennis all over the damn globe. And most of the tennis players on scholarship in the United States are not from the United States. Now, there's a lot, but most of them are from somewhere else. So God bless the soul that puts together all that information. Jeez.
Well, and plus, I mean, we have the number two ranked tennis class, but is anybody checking this guy's work? I mean, he could say, sure, Leslie Stromhoffen from, Indian Springs is number one. We'd all go, sure, she's great. I mean, whatever. We don't have. But let's stick with something we do know about, and that's basketball. Good. Alabama's playing it. And, Jimmy, I had a solo podcast yesterday because you couldn't get your Tandy 2000 fired up, but that's okay. And I talked a little bit about this game, but – man, it deserves more talk because it wasn't just that we won. It's that we had a lead, an early big lead. We started out hot. We cooled off. And then we just sort of were languid for a while. And then at the minute mark, plus or minus, Kentucky either had a 2 or 4 point lead, maybe a 2 point lead with the ball. And there's a foul that they commit on Herbert Jones way away from the basket. And that just seemed to shift the momentum somehow, some way. And a program like our basketball program missing free throws is the equivalent of us missing easy field goals that have hurt us in football. And that's kind of what it's been. That's been one of our Achilles is free throws. And we were just burying them at the end of the game. And guys that we needed to shine, they shined. But they picked up the slack for other dudes that didn't have a great night. Petty didn't have a great night. Quinterly did not play incredibly well. But, you know, Primo is still doing his thing. And then Shackelford had maybe his best game of the year. Juwan Gary came in and did some really nice things, ran the floor very well. And Herbert Jones is just, you know, he's Mr. Consistent. And once again, he's got bandages coming out of his nose this time. I mean, he's so injured, he's made up of bandages.
Herb, in the first half in particular, before he was so beat up, he could barely function as a human being, was just great. I thought in the Kentucky game we had two MVPs. I thought Herb Jones was the MVP of the first half, and Jaden Shackelford was the MVP of the second half. And, you know, without either one of them, we don't win the game. And, again, great contributions from everybody all the way around. Even Nate pointed out at the end those defensive plays down the stretch from Juwan Gary and Keon Ellis, that was huge. Here's one thing I've noticed that I think is hilarious, and I think this comes from just the football. We are a football school. I know there was a hilarious sign at the game last night that said we're a basketball school with the Alabama A, and that got a lot of play on Twitter. But we are a football school. We've been good at football for 1,000 years, and we've won 1,000 national championships. So we're a football school. So most of our fans who enjoy basketball most have a big football background. That's what we know really well. And I guess it comes from that. But how quick did we go from a program that's made the NCAA tournament, what, twice in 12 years to now we're not happy if we only beat Kentucky by 8? You know, and I guess that comes from the football, because our football fans are exactly like that. It's not if we win. Of course we're going to win. It's like we have to win by a certain number of points or look good, or we have a lot to complain about. And that includes games for the SEC championship and in the playoffs. It's not just how bad do we beat Arkansas during the regular season. It's, gosh, we didn't score a lot of points against Notre Dame. What the hell was wrong with that, you know? And now that's sort of bleeding over into basketball, where in our last two games, we beat Mississippi State, who's an NCAA-worthy team. I don't know if they'll make it, but they're worthy of NCAA tournament inclusion. And then we sweep Kentucky, a team that has as many 5 stars in their basketball roster as we just about have on our football roster. And it's we won. We didn't play good. That just bothers me a little bit. It's 50% funny and 50%, geez, man. So now we can't appreciate, you know, wins. We can't appreciate sweeping Kentucky, though we haven't done it since I was a freshman. The last time we did that, I was a freshman at Alabama. I'm just about a freshman in the damn retirement old folks home.
You're a redshirt freshman. They're blue shirting you, Jimmy. They're. And then you eventually get reshirted.
Last time we swept Kentucky, me and Robert Horry were freshmen. That was a long damn time ago. But I thought we played well, and this is why I say we played well. Did we shoot the ball well? No. Have we been sharper? Yes. Did we turn it over too much? Yes. But did we play well? Yeah, because we played hard. We played hard. We played really good on defense. We held Kentucky to just about a season low offensively, or maybe it was a season low. We rebounded well. We won the game on defense in the last 3 minutes. Because of the effort we put into winning the game, I say we played well.
Yeah, I think we played well enough. And the defensive side, obviously, that's what it is. And I think it's the mark of a good team when you can win other ways than what you're accustomed to winning. I mean, if you can win by playing good defense, if you can show the ability to come back. And look, again, here's the thing. Kentucky's not good this year. We all know this, but they're not good because of what their record says. Now, let me tell you what I mean. They still have more talent than we do. That's not in question. That's not in question. But they don't have the chemistry we have. They haven't bought into Calipari's system, whatever that system is. I'm not learned enough to know, but whatever that system is, they haven't bought into it. Our players have bought into our system. And when you run something and you play to an expectation that you're held to that's high, and you have pride and you have some experience and you're pretty good yourself, it's not like there's a bunch of chopped liver out there. There's good players out there. So, bottom line, we wanted it more. If Kentucky plays their A game and we play our A game, Kentucky's winning that game. Kentucky's beating most everybody if that happens. That's just the facts. But that's part of coaching, is getting your team to be able to play the best they can each night, knowing that every night you're not going to get their best, so you got to figure out another way to do it. And I think that's what Nate Oates did last night. Alabama didn't play their A game last night, but Oates figured out a way to get through to his team and get them to play a way that would result in a win. Jimmy, let me tell everybody about Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com, R-O-C-K-A-U-T-O, rockauto.com. That's where you get the best deals on all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. When you see that box and you say, "How'd you hear about us?" Put in Locked On Bama or Locked On Podcast, Locked On Network, whatever you want to put in. But put something in to let them know that you heard about them through this podcast. You will save a ton of money on your chassis, on your timing belt, on your axle, on your Johnson rod, on your rust proofing, whatever you buy for cars. I don't know anything about cars, but I know that Rock Auto, I know about money because I don't ever have any, but I know about money. And if you need to save some money, you go to rockauto.com to get your auto parts. That's just the bottom line right there. Then I want to tell you about betonline.ag. Betonline.ag is the betting site that we endorse here with Locked On Family. And they've been fantastic. They've got everything you want in a betting site. You can bet on football, basketball, soccer, tennis. You can probably bet on who's the number two ranked recruit in the tennis world, as far as I know. But if you have an idea for something you want to bet on, like a prop bet for the Super Bowl, how many times will the camera catch a certain coach picking his nose or whatever, then you can send that in to the betonline.ag people. They may put a prop bet up for you. They may surprise you. I'm not kidding. They're open to suggestions, and they'll put a spread up there if it's reasonable enough. But you can also play poker and blackjack and all these other casino games. It's a lot of fun. It's very easy to pay. It's very easy to get paid. Use the promo code Locked On for a 50% bonus. A 50% bonus on your first deposit. So if you put in $200, you get $300 to play with. That is awesome. You cannot beat that with a stick. You need to go check out betonline.ag. All right, Jimmy. Really quickly, we got Oklahoma on Saturday, and Oklahoma's played pretty well. I mean, they beat Kansas, sent Kansas to their third straight loss for the first time since God knows when, and then they beat Texas on the road. Now, I didn't know this until today. Texas was missing not only their coach with COVID issues, but three other key contributors off that team. Now, I'm not trying to discount their win. Oklahoma's a good ball club. But I think that it gives me some more hope for going to Norman, Oklahoma and getting a victory. I don't know that we're going to do that. I would say it's a 50-50 shot because they're good and we're going to get their A game. But I think we definitely have a shot to go to Norman and pull off a victory.
Yeah, we can beat anybody. I know it's nuts. If we were playing Gonzaga, who is the best team in the country and who I would – go to BetOnline.ag and the smart wager today is Gonzaga wins the national championship. I get that. But if we were playing at Gonzaga, I would say, oh, we could win this game. I think we can beat anybody. I really believe that. So we can certainly beat Oklahoma. I don't know if you want to use the word expect. I'm not sure what the BetOnline.ag number is yet in the game. I would imagine Oklahoma will be favored by a couple. That would be my guess.
That's what I think.
Can Alabama win the game? Yes. Do I expect to win the game? I don't know. On this, if we lose, if for whatever reason Alabama doesn't win the game Saturday, it will have zero impact on my enjoyment of the season. It will have zero impact on how I feel about what this team can accomplish. In some ways, losing is good. It refocuses the team and resets everything and gets – the kids to work on what they need to work on because it's never perfect. So I'm not saying it doesn't matter. We need to win. I want to win. Winning would be awesome. Winning would just send another message to the college basketball world that Alabama is for real. So it'd be fun. And I expect to, but you know, it's not a conference game. Oklahoma's a quality team. It's on the road. The loss will not hurt in terms of your NCAA tournament resume. So this is how I am going to look at it. It's fun. Saturday is going to be fun. Saturday will be a measuring stick. It'll be another opportunity to watch our kids play basketball. It's a great opponent. It's a cool environment, even though it won't be a full arena. You're still playing Norman, Oklahoma, one of the really good, annual basketball programs in the country. So it's gonna be fun. I think Alabama will win the game. Just because right now I just wouldn't pick against Alabama, but Oklahoma's for real. They're very good. Put it this way. I would say Saturday, Luke, is a great preview of what could be a Sweet 16 type matchup that could be in Alabama's future.
No, I agree with that. And I like Oklahoma's coach Lon Kruger. I really do. I respect him. I mean, he was at Florida and one of their, well, probably their initial heyday. I mean, they've had another heyday since then, but in their initial basketball heyday. And I think he's a great coach. I respect him. And I think it's going to be a fun game. I think you're right that it doesn't – look, it's not like it doesn't mean anything. It means something, okay? In fact, Joe Lunardi just tweeted out something saying, look, if Alabama wins at Oklahoma on Saturday, I'm going to put them as a one seed in my next bracketology. That's a big statement. That's a really big statement. Yeah, he put that out. He said Alabama's already making a strong case for it. I mean, I'll find the tweet here in a minute. I mean,
No. I mean, I just
– I got it right here.
Suing people.
It says
– I've been busy suing people. It says – I haven't really been on the Twitter.
I will sue Joe Lunardi for being a damn liar, I guess. I know. I don't know.
No, he's not. I love me some Lunardi. I like Jerry Palm.
I know, I do too.
Have I told my Jerry Palm stories on here?
Quote out before you tell
– Yeah.
Uncle Remus? Okay. Alabama has moved to – Alabama has moved to the brink of a number one seed with its 10-game winning streak. A victory at Oklahoma Saturday would almost certainly elevate the Crimson Tide to the top line. I mean, that's a big deal. So yeah. Now
– That's crazy.
Now, here's the thing that – look, I'm fine. You know, I'm not fine with it. I mean, I want to win every game. But I get it if we lose that game. I get it. It doesn't take away anything that we've done. Doesn't mean the SEC sucks. Doesn't mean any of that. It's going to be a game. But the game, we've got another tough week coming up. I mean, we've got a three-game stretch that is tougher than a $2 steak. We've got at Oklahoma, LSU at home, who I think is the most talented team in this conference. And then we go on the road to a Missouri team that, you know, hopefully they kind of flubbed it last night at Auburn, so it gave us a three-game lead. So – if you're saying, hey, we got to win two of those, we need to win two of those three, I'm taking the two SEC wins without a doubt. I think we're going to have a shot to win all three, but beating LSU at home Wednesday night is not going to be easy. They're going to come out and play hard. I really believe that.
Yep.
And then beating Missouri on the road is not going to be easy. Although I'll say this, it seems like Missouri has played better on the road than they have at home. So anyway, I don't want to get too much into it, but I also want to say this, you know, the Big 12 SEC thing, I like this a lot. I really like this setup. I think it's very cool. I would love to organize something like that football wise where we could match people up and, you know, it can all take place in September, whatever, that's fine. Yeah. But I would love to see it in football, but you know, I'm kind of tired. Why couldn't we, I know, it seems like we play Oklahoma in this thing a lot. We played Oklahoma. Maybe it's also because we played Oklahoma in a home-and-home that coincided with it or something, and that counted as the Big 12 thing.
Yeah, we're just playing Trey Smith like 5 weeks ago.
Right. I'm just wondering, you know, and I know we did Kansas State last year, and that was kind of interesting because the coach, you know, didn't put Kyra Lewis in the game, whatever he was coaching, the World Games or whatever. You know, And we did play Texas in a home-and-home. I would have liked to have seen – and we did play Baylor. Gosh, now that I'm reviewing it in my head, maybe we played more teams than I thought. But it feels like we've played Oklahoma a lot. And I'm interested to know
how they come up with the matchups. I mean, someone in the league, almost like the – it's almost like the Ryder Cup. I don't know if all our listeners pay attention to golf's Ryder Cup, but it almost feels like – someone in the SEC ranks, okay, next year, who are going to be our 10 best programs and ranks them 1 to 10, and then the Big 12 secret, and all has to be secret, because if that shit ever got public, everybody's going to be embarrassed.
So I think there is a method.
But do you think that's what they do?
Well, no, I thought there was something. Now, my understanding, and I have no idea why I thought this, I need to Google it. But I thought what they did, Jimmy, is – and it's like a sort of a 2 years in advance thing that, okay, you know, it's going to be if you finish in the bottom four of the – because there are only 10 teams in the Big 12, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're one of the bottom four teams in the SEC in 2020, you're not going to play in this thing in 2022. Now you say, how does that make sense? I don't know how it makes sense, because here's the thing. I've never known Kentucky not to be in this because they're always in it.
Right.
Now, Auburn's not been in it. Alabama's not been in it this year. Georgia and Vandy. Is it just coincidental that Georgia and Vandy and who is
Can't be.
Is it Ole Miss?
That's what I'm saying. You're right. It's got to be some objective method. Let's measure wins over 2 years and then do 1 through 10, or super secret subjective where a couple of basketball geeks in each Big 12 or SEC office share emails that are instantly deleted going, I think these are going to be our top 10, and I think these are going to be our top 10. So one plays one and two plays two and three plays three. I mean, but that has to be super secret.
Because here's the thing. You never see Kentucky. I mean, who's the worst team in that conference? I mean, I don't even know. Who's the worst team in that conference?
There's no question the matchups are best versus best and medium versus medium and, quote, worst versus worst. There's no question that's what the matchups are. But how are they getting to that? Objectively, which is like you said, just looking at win totals over the past year or two, or is it subjectively, like I said, each conference going, our best team this year is Alabama. Who's your best team this year? Baylor. All right, they play. Okay, who's your best team?
Yeah, here's the thing. You don't ever see Kentucky playing Kansas State. That's what I mean. So this year it's Texas Tech at LSU, Iowa State at Mississippi State, you know, which is kind of, I mean, that's just, that's fine. It's not a great game. It's fine.
But it's an even matchup.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I want it to be.
It's a good matchup. Yeah. I don't know who's going to win that game.
I'm fine with whatever the setup is. Like, I'm not bitching. I'm just saying I would like it if – I think Alabama-Oklahoma is kind of even, but I think this year you could have said, okay, let's do Florida-Oklahoma, which is actually a little bit more interesting because Lon Kruger coached at Florida, and let's do Alabama-West Virginia, which is, you know, just an interesting matchup because they don't play each other that often.
Exactly.
I would have swapped it up a little bit like that, and I think that still evens it out. But anyway, Jimmy, let me tell everybody about Built Bar. I've been scarfing down these free Built Bars they sent us as podcast hosts because our sponsors, Built Bar, are so nice, and they're delicious. I told you on the podcast yesterday, everybody, I've chunked up a little bit. I was clocking in about 247, 248 a few days ago. I've been eating nothing but try to go carb-free as I can. And so that includes, like, if I have a Built Bar for lunch, I can get away with it because – it doesn't load me down with carbs. It is delicious, and it fills me up, and I feel great. And I'm trying to drop a few pounds before summertime creeps up on me. And Built Bar is a way to maintain or to lose weight, and they taste unbelievable. They're really, really good. I have not found a flavor I don't like. It's not like I reached in there and like, if I don't get carrot cake or salted caramel. I mean, oh, God, that's so good. If I don't get one of those, it's not like I reach in there and find something I don't like. Every time I eat one, I love it. So I would go to builtbar.com, use the promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off that order. You will thank us later. They don't just have Built Bars, too. Built Bars are like that's their anchor, right? But they've also got these powders that you can put into your drink that sort of boost and immunity and all these other things. And I've been drinking the heck out of those things. They're awesome. So go check them out at builtbar.com. Use the promo code Locked On for 20% off that order and thank me later. All right, Jimmy. Let's take a minute. I want to talk about save that for the next podcast. Let's talk about the SEC. But it's the backside. I was worried about the backside of the schedule because I was like, they're going to be, when I first started putting things out, I was like, oh my God, they're going to stick us on the backside of this thing. You know, put Auburn the last game of the year. We're going to have to like host LSU the week before or some shit like that. Well, they didn't do that. I mean, you could make the argument the front side's going to be tough, and considering we're breaking in a new quarterback, we're going to be breaking in a new starter at running back, we're going to be looking for a new number one wide receiver. We all assume it's John Mechie, but, I mean, we don't know if he can carry that load on his shoulders yet. We're losing some offensive linemen. Now, we do return a lot of defense, but still, I mean, there's some questions on this team. We open with Miami, and then we take on Mercer. And then I was shocked to see September 18th at Florida. I really felt like they were going to move all the SEC games into October and get all the junk out of the way early. But, Jimmy, I kind of like that because Florida's breaking in a new quarterback too.
Yeah, I think it's the schedule was normal. And by normal, I don't think this is a COVID schedule. I think this is just, hey, we should be good with COVID by then. And we should. We won't get into politics and the government, but we should have everyone vaccinated by September, and once everyone is vaccinated, we should be able to go to the games. We may still be wearing masks, you know, fine. We'll all wear masks, but I think we can go to the games in September. That's what I think is going to happen. And we were pretty accurate, by the way, me and you, in terms of, like, what we thought last season would look like. We talked about it all summer, and we ended up pretty accurate about what the season would look like, and that's what we're saying now. I mean, I think it's just a normal season and full stadiums because most of the public has been vaccinated. Therefore, deaths and hospitalizations are way down, and we can do normalcy, what I'll call it is normalcy, but we're wearing masks. Normalcy, but there'll be, you know, Purell stations everywhere. Normalcy, but there'll be some precautions still here. But will it be 100,000 people? I think there'll be 100,000 seats available, and I think there'll be huge demand because most people missed last season. So I think the SEC set this schedule, Luke, like COVID is a thing of the past. I don't think it was set up with COVID in mind. That's my take on it.
My point is, I just found it shocking because it felt like they were going to move all the league games into October and November and get all the junk out early. And instead, put this Florida-Bama matchup, which is, I mean, it's a monster matchup. It's a rematch of the SEC. They're the last SEC team we played. We'll be the first SEC. They'll be the first SEC team we play. I mean, we've done the loop around, the old reach around with Florida. That's got to be a better way to say that.
Here's a good question. Ready for this? This is when the schedule came out. This is good. I don't know what your answer will be. I'm going to try not even to be Alabama biased. But 1 year ago, when the SEC schedule came out, as we know, CBS, who still has the schedule, people want to fast forward and get rid of Gary Danielson. But the fact of the matter is, as of now, this fall, CBS still has the SEC game of the week, so we'll still have the same normal TV situation. And one of those questions, Luke, is what game will CBS pick for their one primetime game? CBS gets to pick one game every year to kick off at 7 p.m. Central, and they can pick one to do that. It's almost always Alabama, or has been in the Nick Saban era. For years, it was Alabama-LSU almost every year. Then LSU sort of fell off. They certainly fell off now. Last year, I felt there was, holy crap, this isn't even a question. This is completely obvious. They're going to pick Georgia. You know, it's Alabama and Georgia because Alabama and Georgia, the rotation rolls around to where Georgia's on it. But now it's not Georgia. Now it's Alabama-Florida. Florida being Alabama's rotational opponent, which is a big, big game. But I'm asking you, Luke, what is the one single biggest game of the year in the SEC in 2021? If you were the executives at CBS and you had to pick out one game all year to put on at 7 Central, what game are you picking?
All right, it's clear to me it's either going to be at Florida, which means it's early, but, you know, the Georgia game was early. The Georgia game was. So, I mean, I think that's okay. Or it's at Texas A&M. Those would be my two choices. Now, Alabama hosting LSU, certainly you could not go wrong. I get it if that's what you want to do, but if I'm CBS, CBS does, they have two doubleheaders usually. They have one that's like a 3:30 or 3 Eastern time, 2:30, 7 o'clock, and then they have one that's 11 o'clock, 2:30 or whatever. I think that they would be much better served this year to go Alabama at A&M. Now, the risk you take if you choose A&M is you assume Alabama's going to get by Florida, is what you're assuming, because that game's going to be on CBS. Now, it's just, yeah, is it going to be at night or not? They also had that game at night, if you remember, in 2010 when they scored on, like, the first play of the game or something. But we came back and beat their ass behind Trent Richardson. I'm probably going A&M. I'm just going to take that gamble because I'm looking at Jimbo Fisher's team and seeing a team that – look. Here's the selling point. I mean, for Florida, it's okay. You know, these are the rematch of the SEC title game. That means a lot. But Florida will have just come off a trip to South Florida. And I'm not saying they're going to lose there, but they could lose there. I don't think Alabama's going to lose to Miami. I think it's going to be a decent game. Miami's bringing in a nice class, but I think Alabama's going to win that game, and I think Alabama will be undefeated. A&M, I also think, will be undefeated because I don't see where they're going to lose before that. So if that's what you get, an undefeated Bama at A&M, a rowdy crowd that's known for you know, getting nuts and doing weird sort borderline questionable antics in the stands, and Texas A&M last loss will beat Alabama. It will be a lot like the 89 Tennessee game. Now, that game wasn't at night. It was actually at 11 o'clock in the morning, if I remember right. And but if you remember, that Tennessee team, they lost to Alabama the year before. They didn't lose again until they got to Alabama again in 89. Texas A&M could be the same way. And that would make it a lot of fun. And the one thing also, here's the other thing. Your biggest gamble isn't Alabama at Florida game to me. It's Alabama Ole Miss in Tuscaloosa. Alabama with the, you know, notorious look ahead game to A&M. Matt Corral, arguably the best quarterback in the conference. That could be a thing. The week before A&M.
Great rundown. Great rundown. And agree with all of it. Today, I'm Alabama, Texas A&M. I think in the preseason polls that come out, Alabama and Texas A&M, Georgia and Florida will all be in the top 10. Georgia does play Florida. I don't think that would be the primetime game. I think it would be Alabama because Alabama's, frankly, an easy assumption that they're going to be in the national championship race because Alabama has been every single year since 2008. So maybe arguably 2010. I think the primetime game is also going to be Alabama at Texas A&M, and what a monster game it could be. You know,
before you get that, let me just give you A&M's opponents leading up to us, and this solidifies our thinking. Kent State at Colorado, New Mexico, Arkansas, Mississippi State, then Bama. I mean, they're going to be undefeated. Right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. They'll be undefeated. I was super high on A&M this year, and I was an inch away from correctly or bet. I said all along A&M would be a playoff team this year. I am higher on A&M next year. I mean, I think next year they're even better than this year, and this year they missed the playoff by an inch. So, you know, earlier today I tweeted – after the schedule came out, I tweeted out, okay, this is what I think Alabama's toughest games are in order. And I haven't been able to read all the comments yet. Been a little busy. I'm going to get to that tonight, people. You know, as we're recording this on Wednesday night, I'm going to get to it tonight and comment to you guys' comments that commented. But I think I saw a lot of mocking of me ranking A&M so high and a lot of mocking of me ranking Miami high. By the way, I put Miami fifth. And there's some mocking of that. I think Miami is going to be preseason top 15. But I think our fans, Luke, they just mock the idea that any game is tough, frankly. I mean, that's just kind of what they do. But I was ranking who are going to be Alabama's best opponents. Nowhere in there did I say, by the way, we're going to lose to all these teams.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I didn't even say we're going to lose to the best team. I just said, these are our toughest opponents, 1 through 12. And I put Miami fifth. But I put Texas A&M number one. I put at A&M one, at Florida two. Then it got difficult. But I put at Auburn three. And I did that mostly because it's on the road, and put LSU four because it's in Tuscaloosa, and Miami fifth. Frankly, I considered putting Miami third because it's a neutral site game, and I'm not convinced that Auburn and LSU will be better than Miami next year. But in the end, I went with recruiting and recruiting rankings and what I know and what I think would happen if they all played each other, and where we played home, road, neutral, and I end up ranking Auburn as the third toughest game because it's on the road, LSU fourth at home, and then Miami fifth. Ole Miss, I put sixth, but you make an excellent point. I sort of wanted to rank Ole Miss higher because I do think Ole Miss is dangerous, and look what they did to us this year. They scored so many points. I think Ole Miss could score points again next year, but gosh, they just lack dudes on defense.
Yeah, they're not going to stop
and
us.
They won't stop us, even though we have a new offense. So I put Ole Miss sixth. And then at that point, I admitted that it's just knocking over tomato cans with the shotgun and sort of ranked 7 through 12 in groups.
Because yeah, I got you.
I didn't put Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Tennessee. Those schools are not any danger in beating Alabama. Now, we might not play great and blow them out. But they aren't good enough to beat us, even with our D-minus game. And, of course, the remaining non-conference opponents, Southern Miss, New Mexico State, Mercer, have no chance whatsoever. So it's really those six games to me that are good opponents and good teams. But I'm with you, Luke. I think Texas A&M is our toughest opponent. And if I was CBS, I would put Alabama at Texas A&M as my 7 p.m. game. That's my number one choice if I'm the suits at the Central Broadcasting Service.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. All right, buddy, that's going to do it for this podcast. We will be back tomorrow or whatever day it's going to be. And so until then, roll tide.
Roll tide. Things are going well, people.